Blog Talk Radio.
Alexa, stop. Alexa, stop.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, 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 welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night, but especially tonight, because we are working with a book from Dr. Charles Spurgeon, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. We're so excited about it, and we've been working with this for some time, and it's been as fruitful as we thought it would be. We've learned so much. Book one was about the power of prayer. Book two, we're started, it's about praying successfully, and it is so, so powerful. So tonight, we'll always, as always, start off with devotion. We'll have a prayer, and then we will have scripture and a song, and then we'll have intercessory prayer. So we will start, and I think Margaret's on the line. Hey, Margaret. Hey, Bishop.
Hey.
What scripture are we going to be reading? Bishop, you want to share that scripture?
Margaret, could you give her
Psalm 23, 3 through 6, and also, was it Romans 8, 26 as well, related to the text?
I'm good with that.
Okay. That works fine. Could you add another scripture to that, Margaret? What's the other scripture, Bishop? So we've got Psalms 51 and Psalms 42-3. Is that the ones you had, Margaret?
I think I had also 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3.
Okay. That sounds great.
And so you said Psalms 40, verse 3 as well?
What did you say, Bishop?
Psalms 51, 9 through 19.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, well, should I read it or will you read it, Bishop?
No, you're going to read it when time comes.
Okay.
And
good.
I'm going to start off with prayer.
Okay, very
good.
All
right. So, good evening. We're so excited to have you with us. Would you join us in prayer as we go before the Lord? Most holy and righteous God, who we adore, we thank you for being the supreme creator. We thank you for all of the blessings you bestow. We thank you for allowing us to come by the throne of mercy and grace. We thank you, O God, as we seek audience before you tonight. And Lord, as we come, we're asking that your love would shine on us, would shed on us, would embrace us with all the love that you, the agape, so that we can know that we've been blessed and loved by you. Lord, we have had a rough day today. We've had rough weeks. We've had challenges with friends and family and loved ones, and we need to experience your everlasting love, your sweet blessings. And so as we come before you tonight, we're asking, put your phone on mute, as we come before you tonight, we're asking that you would hold us. You would hold us in a place where we could hear and learn, and that you would show up for the showdown, that you would teach us as we sit with revelation knowledge, so that we can become what you desire for us to be. Help us, mold us, make us, fashion us according to your will. Lord, as the silversmith who looks into the vessel and it keeps working with it until it's shining and shows the reflection of the silversmith, let us be a reflection of you. And so we come tonight asking, this is a challenging piece that Spurgeon has placed in front of us. Help us, O God, because it's just a prayer. But we want to know, because he has many prayers, what are we to learn? What are we to draw? What are we to glean as we read this man who loves you, his prayers, and he refers us to Scripture time and time again? We ask these blessings now as we go forward in this study, that we may be more like you. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 Scripture market. Margaret?
Sorry, it stayed in mute. Psalm 23, verse 3-6. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Be to God.
Amen. Amen.
So we'll have a song tonight.
your glory, because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are.
Why do we worship him? Because of who he is. That that's powerful in itself. Tonight and every night around about this time is the time where we stand in the gap, that we make our petitions known to the Lord, and we stand in the gap for our loved ones, for our countries, for our ministries, for our colleagues in the ministry, and for our unsaved loved ones, unsaved co-workers, people that we don't even know. That's what we come into agreement for. So I want to know if there's any prayer requests on the line. Is there anybody that has any prayer requests?
This is Chaplain Susie. I asked for prayer regarding the job, and I have a praise report. So my praise report is that one of the providers sent a Bravo Award just saying that that the work I've done needs mentioning and that they were grateful for it, my team effort and my leadership. In my job, so I was really excited about that. You remember
Amen.
The Bravo Award,
don't
you, Margaret?
Which one?
The Bravo Award.
Yeah.
No, congratulations to you, Dr. Susie.
Yes. Yes, congratulations indeed. And this is Margaret, and I just wanted to echo your earlier words, Bishop, that this week I just got the song, or the theme song, just got into my mind, and I was so overwhelmed by it, and it just was on my mind every morning. I'd start singing that song and reflecting on the names of Christ and Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, and Rapha, and just worshiping the Lord. And that song, it just really struck me to the heart. And I've listened to it so many times, but I finally caught that message that some of the other folks in the Bible study have been feeling.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I also have a praise report for Sophia, my daughter. She's doing much better, and she's separated, and they're sharing the care of the kids, and seems like everyone has settled down into a new life, and it's more peaceful. And she is drawing closer to the Lord and praying often. So I'm really grateful for that. And I just pray for traveling mercies as we still have a piece to go before we head home again in the next few days.
Amen.
Thank you.
The angels of the Lord go before you as you travel. Amen. I want to, ask something that happened today. As I got over it, I began to think that person was going through something. So I want to lift up people that are frustrated and people that are mean for just seemingly to us no reason at all. But apparently they must be going something otherwise. They wouldn't be feeling this way. I want to pray for revival in this nation. And this just came to me, that word revelation, the apocalypse, the unveiling. Mm-hmm. I pray these words came to me even as we've been on the air, that the church would see an unveiling of the Lord Jesus for who he truly is, and that the Lord would restore the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
Because we can do this. Come on.
If you would add Pastor Friday For those of you who can attend, and there are people who are listening on the line, but we have a guest speaker, a pastor from Nigeria, wants to bring the word on Friday. So he's going to speak, and we'll have it recorded, and we'll put it out on Facebook. And if there's others that you know that are willing and have a message that they wanted to share, we're going to go ahead and put it out on the air so that people can hear it. And so asking that you be prayerful for him and his congregants, and they want to do a Bible study or participate in a Bible study. So that, but the time is a lot, like they have 5 hours difference, something like that. Is that right,
mm-hmm.
Bishop Kingman? Like 5 hours difference. So,
yeah.
So asking for prayer for that, but they do want to join us on Friday, so it might be like early in the morning or in the wee hours of night. So just to let you know. I also wanted to ask prayers for the young lady the 6-year-old that shot the teacher, and prayers for the teacher and the child's family. Also wanting to lift up brother, is his name Hamlin, Bishop, the young football player?
Yeah, DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, Mr. Hamlin, yeah. So if you could lift Mr. Hamlin up. And, you know, our sports are a really good thing, but, you know, people don't realize that, you know, there's some consequences to doing some of these things, and we just need to pray protection over our loved ones when they play so that they don't have TBI and things like that as a result of, you know, being hit in the head and tackling and all this stuff, because it's very dangerous. And so we're grateful that they're okay, and we just asking God to continue to bless and keep our people. Someone had mentioned about war, so I'm asking as well that God's will be done and that we would be prayerful and God would protect what needs to be protected and remind us, and so we'll be ready for whatever God has in store.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. We are living in an interesting time, and the apostles, they would have loved to live in this time with the knowledge that they had about what Jesus was revealing to us. Amen. So let's go to the Lord, and let's ask the Lord to be with us on this Bible study, and for those that are listening with us. Amen. Lord, we bless you. We thank you for that song because of who you are. You're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Jehovah Nisi, you reign in victory. You're Jehovah Shalom, you're the Lord, our peace. And we thank you, Lord, for who you are in our lives. We thank you and we worship you. We adore you because of who you are in our lives, God. We would not be able to make it without you. As a matter of fact, we could not do anything without you. So we praise you. We glorify you. We lift you up. We love you. We extol you. We exalt you. Lord, we adore your holy name. We bless you, God. Lord, we thank you for Dr. Susie and the award that she received today. I thank you, Lord, that there's times when it seems like nobody's watching, but around the corner, you always have an answer. Yes, I see what you're doing. And Lord, I thank you for that Bravo Award. We thank you for that Bravo Award because it's a testament to the call upon Dr. Susie's life, the anointing on her life. She's a leader. She's a team player. She's one that can implement things and get things done, God. And that is being recognized. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up Pastor Friday from Nigeria. We pray that you would anoint him now for them. Lord, we thank you for the word that Pastor Friday is going to preach, that it would come forth with power, that it would come forth under the anointing, that it would come forth with clarity, that we would receive a right now word for this time that we're living in right now. And we pray for that baby that went into the schoolroom with a loaded pistol and shot his or her teacher. God, whatever that situation is, God, you're able to make it right. Lord, we pray for that teacher. Lord, every teacher that walks through any school door in any part of this earth now, we're walking into the front lines of the battle. Keep us prepared and keep us protected. Keep our eyes ever fixed on what we need to have it fixed on. Don't let us be distracted in the classroom, Lord God. But, Lord, we pray for that child's family. Goodness gracious, Lord, we do not even know the pain and the anguish that they feel. Lord, we pray that you would intervene. Holy Spirit, take complete control of this situation and minister to that child. Minister to the police that are around this child. And Lord, minister to this teacher that was caught up in an altercation with this young man. We pray for this teacher's family, God. Lord, we need you right now in Jesus' name. We lift up Damar Hamlin, God. We thank you that we actually watched a miracle unfold. There are not a lot of people that recover from cardiac arrest, but God, we saw a nation, we saw secular media go on a nationwide international television station and actually beseech you for the life of Damar Hamlin. And God, you said where two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. And Lord, we called on your name, and Lord, you heard us, and we give you the glory for it. We thank you for complete recovery, God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we lift up our loved ones that enter into the sports arena, God, to do their exploits on the track, on the field of battle or the field of play, God. And we pray that you would protect them and protect them from serious injuries and traumatic brain injuries, God. And Lord, that they wouldn't have CTE or any of these things, God, that, Lord, the games would be made safer in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, just like Sister Margaret said, that song ministers so much. It helps us to focus on who you really are. Jehovah Yireh, providing, the Lord who will provide, the Lord that has provided in the past. And we bless you for your provision. You are our victory, and you're with us even in the battle when it doesn't feel like we're going to win. And Lord, we need peace, so you're Jehovah Shalom. Shalom, our peace. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. Thank you that there's peace where Sophia is right now, that she's settling down and she's drawing closer to you, the safest place for Sophia and the kids. And all that's involved is in the will of God. And we pray for traveling mercies, that the angels of the Lord would go before Margaret and her traveling companion.
Perry, my husband.
Perry and her husband. God, I pray that you would just give them traveling mercies and joy unspeakable, full of glory, and the peace of God. And Lord, we lift up people that are frustrated for whatever reason, people who are mean for whatever reason, whatever the antecedent was, it's not for us to know, but you would have us cross their path at the time where it seems like they are at their worst. And we can't judge from what we just saw, a snapshot in their time that leads them to that place. But God, we pray that you would send relief and bless them and keep them and deliver them and set them free by the power of God. We pray for every drug addict, pray for every alcoholic, that you would deliver them by your power. Every person that is addicted to something, God, deliver, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that the church would see the actual unveiling of the Lord Jesus. that we would see the Lord for who he truly is, that the Lord would restore the joy of our salvation. And, Lord, we lift up every leader in the church that they would not get weary in well-doing. For in due season they shall reap if they don't get tired. Give them the endurance that they need to run on until you call them home. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Be with us throughout this study tonight. Let there be revelation. Let people be saved. Let people be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Ooh, God is so good. Yes, the Lord is. And we praise him and thank him and glorify his name. Yes, we do. Well, tonight, those of you who are ready, we have been praying and talking to the Lord, and we've been looking at various chapters. In book three, in the Golden Key of Prayer, we looked at help from on high. We then went to the second chapter, said, thanks be unto God. And then tonight, it's like everything he's been teaching regarding prayer, he exemplifies in a prayer itself. So love without measure or end is what he entitled it. Love without measure or end. And I think, and I'm going to ask you guys this before I make the statement of what I perceive as the answer. Why do you think he labeled the title of this chapter, Love Without Measure or End? And it's a prayer. So why do you think he entitled it Love Without Measure or End? What about you, Margaret Bishop? How do you all think he...
Well, we've seen in Scripture that God has been equated with love, and we know that God is infinite. So that would encapsulate it for me.
That absolutely. Absolutely.
Well,
what about you,
this
Bishop?
Is Bishop and Tulsa. And it was John who said that, beloved, let us love one another for love is of God, because God is love. Let's stop right there. We know that God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything about us. Yet he still loves us. He knows everything about us.
Yeah.
Before we met Jesus, he knew us. Yet he still loves us. Sent Jesus. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love.
Amen.
He's also all-powerful. Whatever's wrong with us, he can make it right. Thirdly, he's omnipresent. If God is love, and God is love, and God is omnipresent, all present all the time, everywhere, That love doesn't have any measure. And God is eternal. So love has no beginning or no ending. Love is eternal. So I believe that the Holy Spirit was working with him on this title, because love without measure of end. If what they say, we need love. What the world needs right now is love. So that would make me want to read that.
Amen, amen. This is Dr. Susie, and so when I was reading in the first portion of this prayer, he makes a statement. He says, we desire to praise the name of the Lord with our whole hearts, with everything we got, our whole hearts. And then he goes on and says that, as we are, you know, you have delivered us from the darkness and the despair, where we wretched sinners had lain, had past tense, but you lifted us out of that pit of the miry clay and set our feet on solid ground, on a rock. And then he goes on to say, so we want to bless the Lord whose mercy endures forever. But he's talking about doing this with our whole heart. And then he goes on to say, we thank you, Lord, for the love without beginning. Hallelujah. Eternal, like you said, Bishop, that chose us. Woo! Before the earth ever was. For the love without measure that entered into covenant for our redemption, knowing that even before he created us, had us in his mind way in the beginning and had love for us, set us here in this place, chose us before the earth was even made, and knew that we would fall short even in that, and had a plan of redemption for us. That's what I'm talking about. That's some kind of love.
Yeah.
That's like when you love your children and you know they're going to make a mistake, but you love them so much, even though you know they're just going to do stuff that make you cry. But you love them so much and you plan a way of escape for them. Come on. So that they have the opportunity to have that eternal life, eternal love with you, because that's why you created them, because you love them that much. And so I think when he says love without measure or end, that's the love he's talking about, the love that was there in the beginning, the love that was entered into covenant for our redemption, the love that without failure or thought stood, you know, in the gateway for each of us, sacrificing for us on Calvary, worked out our redemption, never changed, never wandered, never was unfaithful, and is always true for us. Have mercy. Have mercy, Lord.
Woo. Thank you, Lord.
And I think about God's goodness. There's a song that CC Winans sings about God's goodness. And I think about God's goodness, and it's nothing that I have done to earn it.
Come on.
Nothing that I have done to earn it. It's a love that's unspeakable. We didn't do nothing to get it, so we can't do nothing to take it away. Come on.
Hey.
And I think that's the thing. Hey. We keep thinking we can fall short. We keep thinking we do this or that and God's going to withdraw. We do, you know, because who we really are is a faulty human being. We are. But
we are.
Even before we were created, he knew who we were and we're going to be. And he loved to put redemption plan in place in spite of us. That's what I'm talking about. That's some kind of love. Woo! That's some kind of love. That will love
that's
you in your fault.
You
Go ahead.
You know, when you think about it, really think about it, God sent Jesus to die on the cross and even die for people who were not going to make a decision for Christ. He died for every person, every being that was born before crucifixion or after. There were some people that were going to reject the Lord, yet that's why that scripture means so much to me. While we were yet sinners, while we were still in sin, Christ died for us. Some of our relatives, some of our homies, some of our buddies did not make that decision for Christ. Yet still, here's a beautiful thing. The Lord died for all of us. He died for all of us.
And they always have a chance to choose at this point.
Come on.
You can always choose at this point. Now, there's going to come a time, when your choice won't be there. But right now, it's not that time. Right now, they can choose. Amen. Yes.
That's powerful.
It is. So, Margaret, when you were reading this, what jumped out at you about the text what, you know, what is it that kind of
As we moved along, it was the part where he mentioned the prayer of begging the Lord to keep us from wandering. And it, I could apply that even for those of us who are strong believers, but still our mind wanders from the Lord. We're captivated by the world. And
amen.
It's something we need to pray that the Lord would help us not to wander, even as we're praying to keep us focused on those things that we know nothing about. By communing with the Lord and having that blessed infilling of the Holy Spirit during prayer. Sometimes we receive a message or a word, but sometimes you don't get any direction, but yet you feel the incredible, overwhelming love of God.
Yes.
Amen.
And
yes,
it just gives such a wonderful peace and well-being.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, when we look at the prayer that he prayed, what are some of the things that you felt that you would hold on to in your prayer? Some of the things that jumped out that you said, you know what, I'm going to remember this one. I'm going to use this in my prayer or in my teaching or in something. What jumped out at you in that capacity? One of the things that jumped out at me is that he uses prayer a lot. I mean, scripture a lot.
Come on.
In his prayer. And I hadn't done that as much, and I've just committed to using more scripture in my prayer. And that will, you know, help me to even memorize it even better by using it in my prayers and talking and, you know, and using it. Did anybody else pick that up?
Yeah. This is Bishop Michael in Tulsa. And it reminded me, like, when I first became a young minister, I ran across this book, and this brother was talking about praying the will of God. I'm like, huh, how do you do that? And the way that this brother explained it was, he said, God's word is God's will. And the bottom line of all that, whether we theologically or philosophically agree with it, if we use the word of God in a prayer to God, we can't go really off base with that. And the Holy Spirit will get you on base if you do get off base. So I noticed that he did use a lot of scripture in his prayer. And that's what I, when you mentioned that, that's what my mind went back to when I was, well, longer than what I care to remember, but it was when I was quite young. So,
amen.
Thank you, O Lord, for the love without beginning that has chose us before the earth ever was. And this is what you alluded to earlier, Dr. Susie, for the love without measure that entered into covenant for our redemption. What did he say right here? This stuck out for me. For the love without measure that entered into covenant for our redemption. That the love entered into covenant before we were redeemed. For the love without failure in that due time appeared in the person of Christ and worked out our redemption for the love that has never changed.
All right.
Though we wandered, for the love that remains faithful even when we are unfaithful. That's what Margaret was just saying about wandering.
Mm-hmm.
That sticks out.
What jumped at me, the next thing I kind of picked up on is after he was talking about, I like some help with this one. It says, bless the Lord, our inmost souls, bless the Lord. Bless be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Triune.
By each divine person. What is he saying with that?
You went out for a while. I did not hear
that one. Yeah, there was a little blip where we lost you, the audio.
What happened?
You're back again, but a few words, maybe a sentence, we didn't hear what you said.
Can anybody hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. So, did you hear my question?
I'm not sure if we heard the whole question.
I read the text that says, bless the Lord, blessed be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Blessed be the Lord for every office sustained by each divine person and for the divine blessing that has come streaming down to us through each of the gracious titles won by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So he asked this question. So I was asking, what do you think he means when he's saying to bless the Lord in every office sustained by each divine person? What is he saying? In every office sustained by each divine person.
Well, this is Margaret. I thought he might be referring to the Holy Trinity, that the offices were representative of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Trinity or the Triune God in three persons would be another way to describe it.
Okay.
You know, we heard Trinity theology, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know, and I've even heard, you know, the acts of God, God the Father, Old Testament, God the Son, New Testament, the Gospels, so, that, you know, to break it down even further, they're all distinct, but that's one God. The Holy Spirit is distinct. The Son is distinct. God the Creator is distinct, but all in the same one. You know, we got the Holy Spirit that dwells. So we celebrate each of them, but we also celebrate the triune God. So I believe he was showing the utmost deference to each person in the Godhead, but was reminding us we're talking to the God of the universe, the creator of the universe. So there's reverence. You understand? There's reverence to the Son, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. But there's still that all-out reverence and deference to God Almighty.
So it's right in line, you and Margaret are saying, you kind of defined a little further what she was saying. It's the office. It's the representation of each of the roles or the entities of the Trinity. Exactly. You just fleshed that out really well. And what did you all get next? What was jumped out at you when you were, you know, when I heard, I'm going to say this one thing and I'm going to let y'all have a chance. But when he says, we want to take down our harps from the willows, you know what he was talking about, right?
was
you remember when the Israelites were struggling
Israelites
and they were down and out and they hung their harps up?
And by the rivers of Babylon.
Singing in a strange loud.
Yes.
Strange
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm on Bible scholars.
So when you think about that, right?
Yes.
He says, if we have hung them there and we want to awaken every string to the sweetest melody of praise unto the Lord of God, our God, yet, Lord, we cannot continue to praise you right now, for we are obliged for you with humble confession of sin. So here we are, and this is exactly what Margaret says again, talking about how we wander. We fall short. We do sin. But I hear him saying, we're obliged. We can't let it not be brought forth. We have to confess that sin. And I don't know how many times he's been saying over and over and over and over, part of your prayer life has to be confession. You can't neglect that part of the prayer. We can do
That's
all kinds
it.
Of thank you, Lord, this and that, but the hard part, the work, prayer is work. And in part of that work is we have to learn to confess where we fall short. And I think this is one of the teachings that he brings out very clearly. Anybody else agree with that or see that?
This is go ahead, Margaret. You have something.
Well, the one thing I just wanted to say before it slipped away was that I forgot to mention that he was making the point that we should bless the Lord in three persons. We should bless in our prayers and praises because that's the only thing we can do for the Lord in this life is to bless him and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ with our intense prayers of adoration and seeking him, seeking communion with God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we confess, as Dr. Susie was saying, and that's one of the things that, you know, became employed in Chicago Public Schools and Rockford Public Schools and, the regional office of education. I had to tell them how good I was. You are going to regret not hiring me, but to become born again into the kingdom of God. Dr. Susie said, we got to tell some stuff. Or here's the other one. We got to tell the truth about us. Because here's the funny part.
Mm-hmm.
God already knows the truth about us. Nothing that we've done in our life ever caught God by surprise. Amen.
I got a question for you guys. Regarding that, Bishop, I got a question. Margaret and Bishop.
Theology. Here we go. Yes, ma'am.
Should we confess things about ourselves that's not perfect? Now, remember, part of our role is discipleship. So what do you all say?
So I need some more clarification. Are we talking about confess to God about our imperfections?
I'm saying in our prayer, there are people who are listening. There are people who, just like we're listening to this, him pray. We need to have, this is my perspective. I don't think you need to air out your laundry. I'm not saying that. But I think those people who we mentor need to know that we are by no means perfect, but it's by the grace of God that we're where we are. And because when people think it's easy, then when they start to have hard times, they don't understand it. So if you don't create a clear picture, then they're misled.
Yes. Margaret, do you have anything to say?
Well, I'm trying to come up. Well, I do feel like confessing that I had a perfect opportunity to minister to a stranger yesterday, and I didn't get it out right. I did, you know, claim that I believed in the Lord, but it was one of those stories where the religion had prejudiced this person, and I won't name which one, but
yeah.
I just didn't do a good enough recovery to bring it back into focus. I did say that I believed in God, that there is a God, but it just didn't go all the way it should have done, and I deeply regret it today. And so I wasn't a perfect deliverer of the good news. And that, what deeper sorrow can there be for a Christian? So that's my remorse today. That's my imperfection.
Okay.
So we all need to work on that recovery of bringing
that's
more
right.
into
very
the
much
fold.
So.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, to answer, and that's very true, Margaret, we do. That should be one of the most precious things that a God could do, is bring somebody into the fold. To answer that question about should we confess, one of the things in true leadership, if you're a transitional leader or a servant leader, one of the main things is transparency to a certain extent. That sometimes you need to be translucent rather than transparent. But, you know, I think I think that
that sounds like a trouble step. Bishop, have you ever heard of a trouble step in dancing? Ballroom dancing?
But if you're a transitional leader, you need to have some sort of transparency. Yes, Dr. Susan, because of some trust. You need to. We need to be that transparent. Like, I struggled. What you see now about me being able to pray, I didn't always want to pray. But and we need to tell them. It might take you 3 nights. It might take you 3 months. It might take you 3 years to master some of this stuff. And the transparency has to be there, Dr. Susie and Margaret, and those in the listening audience. The transparency has to be there because why? Somebody you don't know is watching you.
Yes, and you're modeling, whether you know it or not. So when they see you, then you become the example of what they believe that God is trying to teach them to do and to be. So if you aren't authentic, if you aren't giving God your best, if you aren't upfront and showing that, yeah, baby, we all fall short of the grace. And there was a time where I did things too. I did. You ain't got to go into detail about everything, but I did stuff like that. You know, you can say, I did stuff like that too. You know, what? You did? Yes, sir, I did. And thank God that I didn't die in my sin, because I'd be going straight to hell. But God saved me and gave me another opportunity to get it right. And I took that opportunity.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. And we still grow.
That's where...
Now, and that's the thing. And even after you become an old sage, an old one, you still fall short.
Come on.
You still fall short. And you keep asking God to transform and to change you and to make you into what God wants you to be, so that you don't have to disappoint the Lord.
Amen.
Because we fall short. Yes, we do.
Yes,
so,
we do.
So anyway, when he talked about that and he asked us to forgive all of our sins, And, you know, I love when he says, if in our march through the world so full of mire as it is, we have any spot on us. What's he talking about, spot? Spot from the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dear Savior, wash our feet in that blessed foot bath. What's he talking about, y'all?
Read that last one again, Doc.
Dear Savior.
He says, can you read it? Can you read it, Margaret? Dear Savior.
I can't find it. I just heard you.
That's okay. Wash our feet in that blessed foot bath and then say to us, you are clean every whit. May we know there is no condemnation, no separation. May we know that sin is removed as to its separating as well as destroying power. What's the thing about a foot bath? Because we don't often, you know, some Christians don't understand the value of a foot bath. What's the value of a foot bath?
When we do foot washing, that signifies servanthood. And so we become each other's servants when we do the foot washing thing.
So I'm drawn to what happened with Jesus when he was trying to get Peter to let him wash his feet.
Right.
And some people... service, to run, lead something, and in leading and running something, we forget to serve. And that's what he's saying. So it says, wash our feet in this foot bath of service. You know, we are servant leaders, so that the sin that was a part is removed. And that's all, so that we're in full fellowship. You know, we're, that's koinonia. While the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, it says, let no child of yours have any dead works on his conscience, and may our consciences be purged from dead works to serve the living and true God. So servanthood has to be a part of what we do. It can't just be that, you know, when we want to lead and be out front. Jesus said, when he said, you know, when he was washing feet, he was an example. You know, and the best leader needs to be one who's willing to serve.
Who's willing
to serve. The highest
leader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then he goes on. What's he talking about, strong drink? I just had to mention that. On page that says, if there are any that, after having made the profession of faith, have gone astray by any form of sin, Lord, restore them. If they have fallen by strong drink, if they have fallen by unchastity, if they have fallen by dishonesty, tell it, Lord. They may have stained their garments. May your mighty grace bring them back. And,
Thank you,
know, we play it off. But we play it off, and we act like drinking ain't no big deal. But obviously it is. And at some point in time, when we're anything in excess, don't you think, is unacceptable?
Sure.
So, you know, that's between you and God,
It is a big deal when you've seen, if you've seen one person lose their family, lose their career, lose their reputation, that you've seen enough to know that drinking addictive can really ruin lives, and it ruins families. It ruins dreams. It ruins respect. That, you know, when somebody loses their respect for you, it's hard for them to get it back.
Well,
and so when you see people who have been drummed, I've watched a couple of my supervisors got drummed out of the Navy because of drinking. I've seen men lose their family, beautiful family, because of drinking. So, yeah, it is a big thing, and we can't make light of it. It is serious. I've seen some funny comedians that will, you know, play the drunk person, but then we do laugh at it. But come on, when you see what's going on behind closed doors to somebody that started out with a great life but became addicted to alcohol or drugs, that is serious, Dr. Susie. Like you said, we do make light of it, but we need to look at it for what it is. It's a destroyer, and Satan comes to kill, steal, and what? Destroy.
That's right. I know a young man. I love him dearly. And I called to check on him, and he was telling me, he said, I can't stay. I drink, and then I pass out. And when that ain't enough, I do it again. And
wow.
I got him to come into rehab, and he's doing great now. But it's like sometimes all we need is that battle buddy, that person.
Amen.
When we are going down for the count, to reach out and say, you know, come in, man. Won't you do something to make this work? And risk that they may get mad at you. They may not like what you're saying. May not like it at all. But when they realize that what you did in love, then, you know, and they have a new lease on life, then they thank you for it. But it's touch and go when you don't know how they're going to respond. But you still have to be accountable to what God is telling you to do. You know, God may be telling you to speak regardless. And then you have to be obedient, because that may be what is, you know, saving their lives. But anyway, go ahead, Margaret.
Dr. Susie, where he goes on from here about, oh, may we be among those who glorify Christ. We pray that you will save us from the common religion. Give us the special grace of a special people. May we abide in Christ. May we live near to God. Do not let the frivolities of the world have any power over us whatsoever. Maybe we be too full grown in grace to be bewitched by the toys that are suitable only for children. Lead us to serve you. And pray it again. Make us useful in the salvation of our fellow man. Oh, Lord, have we lived so long in the world, and yet are our children unconverted? May we never rest until they are truly saved.
And he talks about that a lot.
Going here and there. And are those around us still unaware of our Christian character? Well, that's where we all fall short.
Yeah.
But it's a prayer we need to pray for the Lord to give us the courage, strength, and words to be good witnesses.
And it should start at home, Margaret.
We should
start it at home.
Yes.
And the first place is our family should have a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what he says over and over in this chapter. Continue to seek after your loved ones. Continue to ask and to seek and to knock and do whatever it takes
yes.
to get them to have that relationship with the Lord, because they're your own.
Amen.
And so that's one of the things I thought was very encouraging, is that, you know, he continued to beg us almost
yes.
to make sure that we were reaching out to family and loved ones. And then
absolutely.
It goes on at the end of it, says, creating me a clean heart, renewing me. That's one
Come
of
on.
My favorite scriptures. Renewing
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Our right yes. spirit. You know,
yes.
And,
yes.
and if we could just submit to God and let go and let God to do what God wants to do, to give us a special grace as God's special people, to abide in Christ, to live near to God, and don't let the enemy's snares enhance, entice is the word I'm looking for. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, we belong to the Lord, and we have to operate in what we know, knowing that their snares are going to be placed everywhere, because that's the goal, to
oh,
still kill and destroy.
Yeah.
So I like that, and I just wanted to point out that I thought that was pretty good. For me, that was a big point. But he then goes on and says, purge the Dead Sea of sin, in which so many
mm-hmm.
of the heathen are lying. Oh, that the day would come when the name of Jesus is a household word, when everybody knows of his love, of his death, of his blood, of his cleansing power. Save men, gather the company of the redeemed, let those whom the Father gave to Christ be brought out from among the ruins of the fall. To be his
Amen.
Lord.
Come on.
That's exciting right there, y'all.
Yeah. If that ain't
that
ancestry prayer, I don't know what is.
Well.
Who?
What? You know, he can't call these
right
exclamatory
there.
Prayers, because these are some long ones.
Yeah, no. There's some much thought and some labor that are in
that's
these
right.
prayers. And you can feel the passion as you read it. Lord have mercy.
Yes, you can.
Let the people rise. Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. Let the ends of the earth hear him who died to save them. Let the whole earth fill with the glory of God. Yes, God.
Yes, God.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Amen.
Passion. You can feel the passion just coming off the page.
Yes.
The fervor.
And that's what I really love about him, Bishop. That's what I
yes.
love about him. You can feel that. It's like he is with you. He's present. Have you ever heard somebody that
yes.
preaches, and when they preach, it's like they're talking directly to you?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So I really enjoyed that as well, y'all. I really did.
And
is there anything in this?
Power.
Go ahead. The power?
The power of this? How long ago did Dr. Spurgeon go to be with the Lord? Was it 1860?
Yes,
1860. I mean, this, and it's like the anointing is eternal. God's power, God's word, God's presence is eternal. And God speaks to us now, even as we read his experience with what the Lord has done and how much the Bible means to him and how much the word of God has changed this man's life.
Yeah.
And he's going to be with the Lord now. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm so glad the Holy Spirit was leading us to teach this, because, Lord, I know for myself that prayer has become more habitual. And, like, especially I'm conscious of it now, of the exclamatory prayer, because sometimes I pray the same exclamatory prayer. Granny, pray for it. Not Granny, pray for it. Granny Mabel used to pray. Lord help.
Mm. Amen. Amen. So, Bishop, you know, we're getting close to the end. Is there anything in this text that you want to bring out that in his prayer that was so powerful or to you? And, Margaret, the same to you. Is there something that we shouldn't, you know, let go by without bringing out?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. The last verse that he closes this chapter with, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, is, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord, and do not wait. Come in the fullness of your power and the splendor of your glory. Come quickly, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Mm. Maranatha. That one got hold to me too, Margaret.
Yeah. There's so many good verses in his sermons. It's amazing. He puts them all together in a remarkable way.
Yeah.
So
this has been so helpful.
Absolutely, absolutely. So as we close tonight, we want to be mindful of those of you who are following along with us in Dr. Spurgeon's book. We just did book 3, chapter 3. And we just want you to know that we think this is powerful. And we are trying to enhance our own personal lives as we grow in God's grace and in what we're learning here. I just want to say that, you know, what I'm gleaning from Dr. Spurgeon is the words that he uses is like fire, that when I listen to it, it's encouraging. And it's empowering, and it makes me feel as though he's talking directly to God. You know that he's he was known to change thousands and thousands of people's lives through his through his conferences or his what's the Billy Graham Crusades and things. So. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about this, you know, we are trying to remind you that it's the relationship with God that allows an individual to be where he was. It's that daily walk that he did when he opened the book every morning and he closed it at night. It's that one-on-one time with the Holy Spirit. Huh. That transforms your life. Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
So that's what we're gleaning. That's what we're learning as we go through this. And none of us in our Bible study are perfect. None of us are perfect. And we are all growing in the admonition of who the Lord is. And so when we hear these words, we're encouraged to grow. We're encouraged to, ooh, that's good. We're encouraged to go seek that text out and to try to utilize it in our next walk or in our next discussion because it was powerful to us, and maybe it would be powerful to somebody else. So whatever you hear, we encourage you to go back and research the word and get a passion and an understanding so that you can use it in your prayer life as well. So, Bishop, if you were ready, feel free to give us a call to invitation.
Amen. You've heard us discuss passionately the prayers and the power of prayer. And now is the time for you to make that decision that you've been putting off. Let me tell you something. You can't make yourself good enough. Christ died while we were yet sinners, while we were still in sin, while we were considered enemies of the cross and enemies of God. Jesus died for us. I want to invite you to invite Jesus into your life. Just say these words. Lord, come into my life. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Say this with me. Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, God.
I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead.
And according to your word, I am saved.
And according to your word, hallelujah, I'm saved.
My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. All of heaven is rejoicing that you asked the Lord Jesus to come into your heart and live with you forever. Welcome to the family of God. There's a party going on in your honor right now in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're so excited to have you with us tonight, and we're glad to have those of you who become a part of the family. You're our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Please feel free to join us. We're working with Dr. Spurgeon's book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. Please feel free to get it on Amazon and join us as we look at that and go through the scriptures. But call in with us and follow us on Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. and join us this Friday because we're going to have a special gathering from a pastor from Nigeria. Pastor Friday is going to join us. So be in prayer with us, and we look forward to having you join us again on next Tuesday. Feel free to call in on the number. It's 646-478-4932. Again, that number is 646-478-4932. God's blessings be with you. We thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to seeing you again next week. God's blessings be with you. Good night.
God bless.
Good night.
Love y'all.
Bless you too. Love you.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.